He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We've got a market looking for direction right now after the CPI report. Kind of just like it didn't really surprise anybody. It didn't come in really too hot, too cold. It really is directionless, and that's showing up in the market right now. The Dow is up 20 points. It was up about 70 a little bit ago. Now it's only up 20, 34,666. The NASDAQ is down 18. It was up about 40 points not too long ago, but now it's down 18 to 13,755. The S&P is flat. Boy, talk about no direction yet. Oh, I'm sure it'll find some direction here before long. The S&P is at 44.61. Small caps down 38 basis points. Crude oil, finally a drop, but not much, down 16 cents to $88.68. That's where crude oil is at. Gold is down 70 cents. To 1934, silver's down 23 cents. The 10-year, no direction there either. It's at 4.27, basically where it ended the day yesterday. And so the much-anticipated CPI report came in about as exciting as Apple's big day yesterday, which also pretty much was kind of a dud. So welcome to today's big Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Let's begin with yesterday first. Yesterday we had the Dow down 17. We had the NASDAQ down 144, basically giving up what it made on Tuesday. Or on Monday, easy come, easy go. The weakness yesterday was Oracle and Apple. Those were the two weak stocks. I thought that Apple's big day was pretty much, a non-event, really.
Yeah, the primary event was the fact that I couldn't, no matter what financial news you had in the background on yesterday or reading, All you had thrown in front of you was the release of the iPhone. I didn't even see the presentation. I just kept saying, hey, they're unveiling it today.
Well, the highlights are it's going to be wrapped in
titanium,
in,
one of
recyclable cardboard, no more plastic.
And they're shipping from India.
They're shipping from
India. Whereas most releases, although I think all the previous releases or a majority of them previously came from, they first start releasing from China. Then they would begin sending, making phones in India and sending them out from there. But in this instance, they're shipping them, I believe, directly from India to begin with. So
yes, and as a result, I think right now the markets are in a sideways trend, which is not unusual as you're kind of in between earnings season. There's about a four-week span of time, maybe five, 6 weeks, where you're in between earnings seasons, and that's kind of where we are right now.
And September's historically, right, at least from a seasonality standpoint, is usually a weak month, maybe one of the weakest. That in October, of course, we've had a couple, and I think you had the crash, 29 crash in October,
which
helps mess up that, helps change that average over time.
So Apple is down about 0.75% today, just didn't move the needle at all. Consumer price index rises 3.7% year over year in August. Well, look, Germany's still 6.1%. I think the EU's still up around 5%. 3.7 is actually pretty good. But, their target is 2%.
Well, and I think, yeah, it's a much more interesting, like you said, it's kind of a wishy-washy report, but when you, you know, kind of, it's much more interesting when you dive into all of the individual items. It's pretty, if we've got some time, we should do it, but we've got, you know, for the month, energy was up 5.6%.
Yeah.
That whole category, and when you break that category down, gasoline up 10.6%, fuel oil up 9.1%, so, that's really, I mean, all the other numbers are in the, you know, point, highest other numbers like 0.6.
Yeah,
so,
the food inflation seems to be gone for now.
Yeah. and then the housing, one, obviously shelter, that's the other piece that's been sticky. You know, that, and then of course on the labor side. So the housing also led to that kind of bump
up.
Well,
in normal times, rising rates like they did, would cool off housing prices, but it had the opposite effect this time around because of all the people sitting on loans around 3%.
Yep, and rents. Rents are stickier. You know, those are contractual a lot of times, right? You know, you could get your, you know, rent for 12 months. Well, you know, a lot of folks, you know, had rent increases for a period of time, and it takes a while, at least 12 months, right, for that to roll off, or at least, you know, they don't really usually don't go down. They may stay the same, right?
Yeah.
For the next 12 months or what have you. So
anyways, I mean, I don't see a hike at next week's Fed meeting. The one after that is definitely in play.
Yeah, 97% chance, at least currently, that at the, you know, that the September 20th decision will be basically a no hike. Basically, just, you know, stay pat.
Well, you know, there's always that 3% chance. What were the chances that Aaron Rodgers would blow out his Achilles tendon four plays into the new contract, his new big contract? Oh man,
right,
oil.
That's you know, the, I think the, I looked at it. I had I think at the beginning of the week it was 93% chance. So we're at 97%
that
now,
he'd blow out his tendon.
Oh, no, well,
that he wouldn't blow up.
That'd be, yeah, that'd be at 93% that something bad was going to happen to the Jets.
Yeah. Crude oil finishes at a 10-month high, lifting energy to the top of the S&P sector standings. And I said at the end of the first half of the year, I said, I think that energy is going to be one of the leading sectors going forward. And it definitely, it has been the best performing sector. Since we flipped the page back on July 1st from the first half of the year to the second half of the year, stocks like Occidental, Marathon, EQT, APA, EOG, XOM, etc., Chevron. You know, I was watching, I think it was a week ago, our lowly San Diego Padres were playing the Houston Astros in Minute Maid Park there in Houston. And normally you look at the signs on the advertisers, you know, and it's local restaurants or local businesses, et cetera. Every single one almost was an oil company in Houston.
And there you go.
In fact, on their uniforms, on their shoulder, it's Oxy, which I don't think that's the laundry detergent. I think it's Occidental Petroleum. Then in the outfield, it looked like the energy ETF with all the symbols, LNG, Conoco, Phillips.
What's that ETF? XLM? Is that a I'm trying to remember what that, I know that's one,
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, XLE or one,
yeah,
of those.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And so, I mean, Houston definitely is an oil town. They had the Houston Oilers at one time, and definitely a lot of sponsorship coming from the energy patch down there in the Houston Minute Maid Park. I didn't see any lemonade ads or orange juice ads. September 30th deadline looms. Okay, this is a big deal. It came up in our news feed yesterday, and I didn't really get into it that much because there were so many other things to talk about, including the big CPI report and the Apple, you know, event. But this is a hard deadline, and it's 17 days out. And I'm going to predict that it's not going to be a kick the can down the road this time. I think last time, you know, just because of where we were at in the political season and everything, They did kick the can down the road. Well, now the can is sitting there. On September 30th, I mean, they want to go back to at least pre-COVID numbers, at least pre-COVID numbers. And you've got added pressure to do something because we're running a $150 billion deficit per month, which adds up to $2 trillion per year. Who sits down and does a budget and say, well, let's see, we're going to take $4 trillion and we're going to spend $6 trillion?
Well, and halfway, and you got to remember, too, between the debt ceiling debate and now, right, or September 30th, you had we had a U.S. downgrade in debt.
Yes. So I see this as being an issue, and I think it's one of the reasons that you're seeing the indexes go into sideways mode right now. Because this would be a shutdown on October 1st. I think it's going to happen. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, September 30th would be a budget showdown. It's not the debt limit showdown. The U.S. government shutdown looms amid political impasse in the House. And I was listening to a debate yesterday over some of the issues. But it seems to me like it's pretty likely that they will reach an impasse, because it sounds to me like the House, which is controlled by the Republicans, is going to take a little bit harder road this time around, and that's not going to fly with the Senate. So they're going to have a big old standoff. Pantheon Macroeconomics Chief Economist Ian Shepherdson says it's hard to see either treasuries or equities reacting well to a potentially prolonged period of chaos in Washington. But right now, that is the most likely outcome, he wrote in a note to his clients. And, like I say, on the one side, the $2 trillion, where do you draw the line when you're spending $2 trillion more annually than you're taking in? How long did this go on?
In a time of economic expansion, right? The problem is the fact that, when you're spending money, theoretically, right, you're trying to push the economy, right? And so in this instance, it's not, economy-wise, right, we're still at a positive GDP, and you shouldn't be running $2 trillion deficits in expansionary periods.
Yeah, and
you shouldn't be running $2 trillion deficits. Period.
No,
but definitely
well,
not.
You know, up for grabs will be further support to Ukraine, things like that. And if the government does shut down, guess what? We won't have a non-farm payrolls report on October 8th because...
Well, I guess we won't. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
All economic data releases will halt. And
we won't have any. Yeah, so we have a Fed that's data dependent with no data.
So it just looks like the most likely outcome at this point in time. And I think that's the reason why the market has gone into sideways mode right now. Now, the Cold War between China and really a lot of the rest of the world, mostly us in Europe, continues to heat up. Now there's the European Union wants to crack down on the imports of Chinese electric vehicle makers because they're being subsidized by the Chinese government, and we want to do the same, and that's just ratcheting up the tension between the two sides. But, you can't subsidize an industry and then sell into another country. That's not cool. It's unfair competition when you.
Well, and that's what they were doing with solar. Remember, that's what they were doing with solar panels in the early 2010s.
Yeah, they're subsidizing, making it an uneven playing field. and then dumping the cheap solar panels into the U.S. where we can't even compete. And now they're doing it with their electric cars. So there's another ratcheting up of the Cold War. And now China is flagging security issues with Apple's iPhones. Now, I keep hearing that this is not a big deal, that it's less than 1% of the phones that Apple sells to China go to government or government-owned companies. But, you know, China could easily continue to ratchet up the pressure here on the iPhones. The remarks were the first by the Chinese government on the issue after news reports that authorities were moving to restrict the use of Apple products in sensitive departments and state-owned companies. So anyways, China intends to expand the ban on the use of iPhones to several state-backed companies and agencies, a signal of growing challenges for the U.S. tech giant in its biggest foreign market and global manufacturing base. But, you know, again, Citigroup, and I think Wedbush also pointed out that 99% of the sales to China are made to consumers, and only about 1% of the revenue goes to government, or sales go to government. Okay, Apple unveils a watch, which is operated by finger movements, an iPhone with a titanium casing, you know, not recyclable packaging. The cost on the Pro, $999. The Pro Max goes up $100. It's $1,200 now. I have a Pro Max, but I have an 11. Okay? Do I want to go to a 15 for a cool $1,100? I can go to a 15, have a titanium case.
Need a carrier discount. You need Verizon or one of the other carriers out there to give you a discount on that $1,200.
And it's got a new charging port, which is to come into line with, you know, a universal charger.
What is it? It's the USB. Is it USB-U, USB-C?
I think
USB-C, that's it.
Yeah. I hate it. My Dell has USB-C ports, and I have to buy all these adapters for almost everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real pain in the rear. So anyways, that's and you know, how did Apple's product release go? Well, the stock was down after the report, and it's down again today. So I'm just going to say it was a total dud. Oracle cut at J.P. Morgan. Well, you know, they should have cut it a week ago, but that's, you know, after they report a 15% drop in the stock yesterday, J.P. Morgan cuts it. They say the Cerner transition and the data center build-out pose hurdles. So, you know what? I got to let the dust settle. The 5-year target price is key to what I do, along with the chart, obviously, and I will reevaluate. You know, I've got room for 20 stocks in my dividend and growth portfolio. Oracle was one of the 20 best. In fact, we had about a 36% gain in Oracle. We're still up about 8%, but we gave up a lot of that gain yesterday, and maybe the story has changed. Or is this just a temporary setback for Oracle? That's the kind of work that I have to do as to whether or not to upgrade that position and move on, or to wait for an eventual rebound in the stock. That takes a little bit of work. Looking beyond an auto worker strike, UBS gives Ford and GM bull ratings. Man, that's a hard one for me. You know, Ford and GM stock have done nothing for a long, long time. They're way behind the... I kind of liken it to, look at, you know, at one time Yahoo and a few others had the lead in the search engine market, and Google executed better, right, and grabbed the lead and now dominates it.
Yeah, can't, I mean, you remember, say Lycos? That, wasn't there, yeah, Lycos? There was all,
can't
these
you
other
say
ones
the
there.
Same thing about Ford and General Motors and Tesla? Tesla grabbed the the bull by the horns, ran with it. Is Tesla a monopoly because of that, or are GM and Ford just terrible executors of new developments? We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. The market is vacillating back and forth between green and red. And right now it's slightly green with the NASDAQ up 23, the Dow up 9 points. Now back to that GM, Ford, Tesla. You know who, I'll tell you the one that's performing the best in all of this underneath the surface is Toyota. Look at the chart of TM. Toyota was 133 back in April, and they came along with the announcement that they're going in an entirely different direction. They're going to the solid-state batteries. And now the stock is 183 since April. It's up $50 a share.
Yeah, since that announcement.
Yeah, I mean, and it's hitting a new 52-week high today. Now compare that with the chart of Ford, which is sitting at $12.76, has lost half of its value since last year, reported a massive loss in their most recent quarter. And now, you know, I mean, there's some pretty draconian requests and demands being made by the United Auto Workers. It'd be interesting to put Toyota... Now, Toyota builds a lot of cars here in the U.S. I don't know if the United Auto Workers are part of Toyota's business or not. I have a hunch that they're not. It'd be interesting to see what the labor, of course, you could do that in the income statement. What percent of sales is labor in labor benefits in the U.S. car makers versus Toyota, for instance? I think I'll do that today. Yeah. And just compare,
because I don't think they're covered. You know, obviously they make a lot of vehicles here in the U.S. as well, but I know at least for this particular UAW deal, right? You know, I believe it's just Ford, GM, and then Stellantis.
Yes.
What's their?
I think
isn't their
yeah,
real
it used
name
to be
now
Chrysler.
Stellantis? Yeah, basically. Right.
All right, now Amazon. Okay, wages are going up. Well, Amazon. To hike wages for contract delivery drivers. Amazon will raise contracted drivers' pay as a part of a $440 million investment in third-party delivery programs. I'm seeing a lot of this going out to third parties. Of course, that's where DoorDash and Instacart and all those come in. But Amazon has created their own fleet of delivery independent, I guess. Are they independent? No, they're employees.
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah, because I've seen some interesting things. Like, you know, we get our dog's dog food only at Tractor Supply, and now I saw where you can, you know, basically, you know, order it from, you know, Walmart, and they will essentially, they're delivering it, even though it's not even, I don't even think they have it at their, I think they have to go get it. I don't know. But
there's a lot of weird things.
Yeah.
I saw someone in Walmart picking up a birthday cake. DoorDash.
Right, yeah.
Weird. The company expects the delivery associates to earn $20.50 per hour on average plus benefits. Amazon launched the program in 2018 to enable quicker deliveries and reduce reliance on traditional shipping companies like FedEx. The DSP program currently comprises 279,000 drivers. And guess who's in there sniffing around? The move comes amid Teamsters' efforts to unionize. Amazon's delivery driver workforce. The labor union has set up picket lines at multiple Amazon warehouses in the U.S., calling on the company to address low pay and dangerous working conditions. Okay. California Senate passes bill requiring large companies, what they consider a large company, $1 billion or more in sales, to make an annual report of their carbon footprint. You know, it's hard enough to get all the numbers together for your taxes every year. But this carbon footprint thing, it goes way beyond the SEC's currently proposed climate disclosure rule. This gets into areas. The bill would require businesses with $1 billion or more in annual revenue to calculate and report a wide range of emissions, including indirect or scope 3 emissions, which opponents say would be nearly impossible to measure accurately. I mean, how is an insurance company going to measure their emissions scope? It's going to set up a cottage industry, obviously.
For example, if you had to know my agent is driving whether it's a company car or not, right? How much gas did they use? How many miles did they report? What type of car is it? Depending on how much it's emitting,
hire one full-time person just to go around measuring everybody's emissions, right?
Oh, that's another whole, that's the other thing. I mean, talk about cost and, that would be another entire industry, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's what, people who lose their jobs for AI, I guess, would now be the emissions control police or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of businesses that will not do business in California because of things like that, and it just gets worse and worse all the time. I know from experience.
You've been there.
Having owned a business in California, why do I need the health department checking on me? I'm a financial advisory.
Make sure your microwave's clean.
Yep. Novo Nordisk is going to split 2-for-1. Does that mean my stock? I'm going to double my value of my stock's going to double? No. I remember, though, back in the year 2000, there was a newsletter, the stock split newsletter, and you had all these neophytes buying stocks before they split. Well, I mean, it kind of was a self-fulfilling prophecy because all these people would buy them and run them up, and then they would split, and they would run up a little more, and then they'd wake up and realize, wait a minute, I got twice as many shares at half the price. It's a non-event. But Novo Nordisk, which is 193, and right in the heat of this whole weight loss, them and Lilly, Novo Nordisk is going to split 2-for-1. Now, here's a note just to give. I look at these notes that come out, and I say, would I want to invest? How about an 8%? Senior secured note, 5 years down the road, B&G Foods. I actually had a guy that used to listen to our show. I want to say B&G was out of Texas or something like that. And he had worked for them for many years. B&G makes basically canned food products, jellies and hot sauces and stuff like that.
Ortega, Crisco, they do a lot of things.
But it's a slow growth company, and it's a micro cap stock, 700, and it's got a horrible stock chart. But, okay, here's where I'm going with this. These companies that offer 8% dividend yields, they're just as bad, okay? There's just as much risk. I would take a company offering an 8% bond over an 8% dividend yield, because at least the bond, as long as the company remains in business, is going to stay at 100, right? And you're going to get 8% along the way.
Right, you're higher up on the capital structure.
Yes.
Equity, they can take that away at any time. It's a contractual payment to you as a bondholder, and that would be considered a default versus just, hey, we're taking back the dividend.
And BGS, just by coincidence, has about an 8% dividend yield. So would you buy the stock and take the 8% dividend yield? This stock has been going down for the last several years. It's gone from 34 to 10. But along the way, you've been getting a dividend yield. Okay, well, the total return is vastly negative here. Whereas if you owned the bond for the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah,
as long as they're still alive 5 years from now, right?
Exactly. Then you're of course, you could go to zero with the bond. You could go to zero with the stock, too.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
One won't go to zero without the, and definitely the one that goes to zero first would usually be the equity.
I think we're the Best Stocks Now show and the no high dividend yield stock show because it's pretty much a sucker bet, in my opinion. American Airlines, they're warning, okay, here comes another warning in front of earnings season here, 17 days until the end of the quarter. All the airlines are basically warning right now because of higher fuel prices and labor cost. And, you know, if you think about it, there's your inflation right there at this point in time. It's higher labor costs. Look at all these strikes that have been taking place. Look at the shortage of good skilled workers. That's going to continue to drive labor prices higher unless we get into a big recession and we have layoffs, and then the fuel prices.
Yeah, and the PPI. And the PPI will be interesting tomorrow because that eventually gets passed on to us in some form
or fashion. All right. Well, when we come back, we'll take a look underneath the surface. I got my snorkel. I got my mask. Let's see what's going on down in the deep below the indexes. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market's gotten even a little greener here. So has crude oil, $89.04 right now. It's up 20 cents. But the Dow,
90.
Oh, man. The NASDAQ is up 43. The Dow is up 53. And the 10-year is very quiet, 4.28%. Okay, underneath the surface of the market, I see American Express on the Dow leading the way. Big deal there, 1.3, pretty boring. Pfizer up 1.2, pretty boring. Microsoft up about 1%. And then on the downside, 3M down 1.2, Verizon down 1.1. The strength is in tech. We'll get to that here in a minute when we get to the NASDAQ. One of the stocks that's kind of a standout today is Moderna. Now, it has been a very poor performer since peaking out at $500 per share with their COVID vaccine.
Wow.
Back
how
in
long
2021.
Ago is that? Yeah.
Now it's 111. It's lost 80% of its value. They got the FDA approval for their latest version of the vaccine. And, of course, the CDC, anyone 6 months or over should go get it. And then, of course, they're announcing several drugs in their pipeline, which sounds interesting to me. This could be something worth, you know, I'm going to start monitoring Moderna down here at $111 per share. They had those massive earnings. I didn't see any kind of a windfall earnings tax on them. They made $28 a share in 2021.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, I don't remember anybody, you know, given them the verbal lashing like they did, you know,
$20.
Chevron or, you know, Chevron CEO.
They made $48 per share in earnings in those 2 years. Now they're back to losing $5 per share. But anyways, the stock has leveled off here, and they've announced several products that they think they'll have over the next several years. They're trying to be not a one-trick pony. So it's definitely worth keeping an eye on Moderna mRNA, which is up 5.7%. It's the biggest percent gainer in the S&P 500 today. Western Digital is up 3.2%. It's always all over the place as a tech stock because it's so commoditized. Fertilizer stocks have been making some noise here recently. Corteva is up 3.2%. Adobe is having a good day. Adobe reports earnings, I think, tomorrow after the close. Adobe is up 2.1%. 5%. Ford is up 2.4%. So UBS does move stocks with their upgrades and downgrades. Their upgrade is giving Ford a boost. It's up 2.6%. It's sitting at $12.78 on the cusp, however, of a United Auto Workers strike and some pretty stiff demands, some pretty stiff increases in cost to Ford, GM, and Stellantis. AMD's up 2% today. That's a pretty good move. There must be some pretty good news out there maybe on the PC front. Amazon is up 1.8%. Lamb is up 1.4%. Tesla up 1.3%. That's the good side of the S&P 500. The disturbing side are the regional banks. I'm not sure what's going on there. Zion down 4.1%. I always get nervous when I see these important banks. U.S. Bank down 4.1%. Truist Financial, which I read was doing a big round of layoffs, it's down 2.9%. And Comerica, so there's something going on with the regional banks, down 2.3%. I don't know if it's a reserves issue or downgrades. I haven't seen any news. I'm just looking at the stocks kind of in unison taking a hit today, and along with the airlines, which are also on the wrong side of these rising oil prices. American Airlines is getting punched in the gut today, down 4.2%. Okay, over at the NASDAQ, about the same. It's Western Digital, Adobe, AMD, Amazon, Micron, Applied Materials that are leading the way here to the upside. Pretty good day for tech. The semiconductors, AMD in particular, and Micron also, and the equipment makers. So I've got a list of 500 stocks to look at today. That includes our current holdings. That includes stocks that are ranked B plus or better, which I currently have about 330. That number has dropped considerably over the last several months. And the momentum, A-plus momentum, out of 5,800 stocks, there's 109 A-plus momentum stocks.
It got to 800, didn't it? When you're,
it was,
didn't it get to close to 800 at one
all
point?
Close to 1,000 B-plus or better when the market was really roaring. And then, you know, it started to level off. It kind of at the, you know, the when June 30th, July 1st, kind of the market did a change. I said it's entering into a new phase. And now, and then I've got, A plus or better, I think 109 stocks, A plus or better momentum stocks. I think the number one ranked stock overall in the app, looking at momentum, looking at valuation, and the article we wrote on Monday is Lilly. I think Lilly, that's very unusual for a mega cap stock like Lilly. Up against all the likes of NVIDIA and all these hot little stocks is the number one ranked stock in the Best Stocks Now app, and it's one of our largest positions here between their, you know, what they've got in the pipeline currently. They've got three double-digit growing drugs, and you've got the big weight loss drug, Mounjaro, up 6,000% in sales year over year, and it hasn't even been approved for weight loss yet, which supposedly is coming this month. So we'll see. What will the featured stock of the week be this week? It's, you know, there's been some blockbusters in there every week and a few stinkers, but they should pan out. We'll see. But I've got it narrowed down. To get two free weeks of the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. A lot of research goes in to narrowing it down to just one every week. GundersonCapital.com to set up an appointment with us. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.